You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast. It's Wednesday, January 30th, 2019, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanks so much for joining us today. Last week was the Senior Bowl. It was the biggest of the college all-star games, an important step in the scouting process ahead of this spring's NFL draft. Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network was there all week observing practice. So Trevor joined me for a brief chat. We talked about how important the Senior Bowl really is. We talked about some of the winners and losers in general, and then we got a little more focused on Jets-specific potential targets. And then Trevor finished the show by offering us some advice on how to scout players at one specific position. It's a good chat, so let's jump right into my discussion with Trevor Sikkema. Joining us today to recap the Senior Bowl is Trevor Sikkema of the Draft Network. Trevor, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course, man. Good to be with you.
Great to have you. So I want to start off with just a general question. It's something I've always been curious about, and you know, being somebody who attended the practices during the week, I'm always intrigued by somebody who, you know, has a background in the draft. I always hear about how important the practices are. So When it comes to the evaluation process, how important are the Senior Bowl practices versus what happens on the game during the game on Saturday?
Well, I think the practices are more important just because the whole point of these all-star events, you know, there's a Senior Bowl, the NFLPA Bowl, the East-West Shrine Game. The whole point is to get guys out of their comfort zone, out of the system they've been in for the last 3 or 4 years, away from the players that they're so comfortable with, and you plop them in a situation where they're playing with guys they've never played with before. Well, sometimes they got their teammates there, but for the most part, guys they've never played with before. You're getting an NFL coaching, you're getting an NFL playbook for the first time, you're getting NFL coaching for the first time. So you get to put these guys in new environments. And the whole point, to me at least, the biggest takeaway for the week is not only seeing them against different kinds of competition, sometimes that they wouldn't get to go up against while they're at the colleges they're at, but you get to see how they adapt, like naturally, like with instinct, like how quickly they get chemistry with their teammates, how quickly they adapt, they can pick up the playbook, how quickly they can stand out, all this kinds of stuff. And so those are really the things that go into it. And it's funny because, you know, the NFL draft is so much of a thing where I don't want to call it like a cop-out, but when you're evaluating prospects, there's always some, it just, you know, if you like a guy and he goes into the NFL and he doesn't do well, sometimes you can be like, oh, you know, he just didn't go to the right spot, or, you know, they're not playing in the right way, or all this kinds of stuff. And it's funny because that's kind of sometimes how it is with the Senior Bowl. You know, if a guy has a good week of practice earlier in the week and a bad game, you could just go like, oh, you know, but, you know, practice is all that matters. Or if he has a good game and a bad practice week, he can go, oh, see, it was leading all the way up to the game. So it's kind of funny how we get these evaluations between practice and the game. But that's what the main takeaway for me is when I look at the Senior Bowl, is how these guys adapt for the first time in a new environment. It really tells you when somebody doesn't have the comfort level around them, how they acquire that comfort, how they acquire that confidence, and how quickly they can get the most out of their abilities, the most out of their talent by becoming comfortable, can really go a long way and tell you how much these guys might be able to compete early on in their NFL careers, and really just how much their talent level might stand above all the rest naturally. And so that's always kind of how I go into it, and why practices mean more to me than, say, that the game does later in the week.
And when you're evaluating the practices, how much does it change your opinion on a guy? Like, there's a guy you really liked who has some rough practices, or
sure,
or vice versa. How, to what extent does that move your opinion on that player?
Well, it always depends what the context of, I guess, like what, how they play well or how they play poorly. Because we talked about them, we kind of emphasized this week, you don't want to scout the same traits twice. It's kind of like when you go into the combine and there's a guy who you all know is going to run really fast. Like, speed is a main part of his game. You can watch him on tape and go, okay, this guy is clearly, he wins with speed. Speed is his game. You go into the combine thinking, okay, this guy's going to run fast. When he runs fast, You can't go, wow, his stock is up, he ran fast. No, no, no. You already knew that. You already knew that part. And so taking that into something like the Senior Bowl, what you want to do is you want to identify a player's strengths and weaknesses. For example, let's take Montez Sweat for an example this year. He was a really good example. Sweat got a lot of buzz coming out of Mobile this year because of how well he performed in the practices. And I will give it to him. I thought Sweat really stood out and he did a nice job. He was great with power, rushing off the edge, getting right into offensive tackles' chests, being able to bully him a little bit, using some inside moves, showing some veteran savviness for the position, setting offensive linemen up to be able to beat them inside or with that bull rush. But I already knew that about Montez Sweat, okay? You know, he's 6 foot five. He's 250 pounds. He's a big dude. You know, the bull rush, the power as an edge player, I already knew that from watching his tape. What I wanted to see going into Senior Bowl week was, hey, does this guy have a little bit more speed, bend, and flexibility on the edge? Maybe a little bit more than I saw in tape. Maybe it's naturally there. I can get a glimpse of it and go, okay, here we go. Now I can build on a little bit more of Montez Sweat's game. I didn't see that at the Senior Bowl. So whereas I thought that Montez Sweat had a good week, it's not like he went from a fringe first-round prospect like I thought he was, and I elevated him up to this top 10, top 15 guy for doing what I already thought that he was going to do. And so that's kind of, to answer you, to be a long-winded answer to your question, that's kind of how I scout what the Senior Bowl is about. And when you look at these players and how to evaluate them, is you want to go into the Senior Bowl knowing a guy's strengths and weaknesses, because you want to see if, one, if their strengths are enough to stand out against different competition. And then if it is, do they address any of their weaknesses in other areas to perhaps make you either go back to the tape or just overall think they're a better prospect than what you thought going in?
Now, for like a small school guy, does it matter in the sense that he's going up against better competition?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, there's a lot of guys like that. I mean, Jimmy Moreland was one of them, the inside cornerback from JMU. Penny Hart was a huge standout from Georgia State. He was a slot wide receiver that was just cooking dudes all week. And then obviously, you know, a guy like Nasir Adderley, too, who's getting talked about as a potential first-round pick. The safety out of Delaware. With these guys, it's really important because you want to see them against Power 5 competition because that is the bar in which we judge a lot of these guys. And if they can hang with them and even get the better of them, certainly that only helps their case if they happen to be a small school guy.
We are here with Trevor Sikkema today of the Draft Network. Trevor was at the Senior Bowl all week watching the practices. So you've kind of touched on a few guys, but which players do you think really stood out and helped their draft stock over Senior Bowl week?
Boy, I guess, I got to say Debo Samuel is one of them because he was fantastic all week as a wide receiver out of South Carolina. You know, he's not the biggest dude in the world. He's about 215, 5'11", so he's got a really interesting build to him. I thought he had a really good 2017 year. 2018, he just did not have a lot of really good quarterback play, but when you kind of look at it under a microscope, you go, okay, you know, he still has that skill there. You still are hoping he's that guy. And boy, did he show out at the Senior Bowl. He was cooking those poor defensive backs all week with cuts in and out, showing that he could be a good slot guy, catching through contact a little bit too, showing that he could play on the outside a little bit. And so I think Debo Samuel certainly helped his stock a lot that week. Ben Powers is a guy that also stands out to me. Him and Eric McCoy. Ben Powers from Oklahoma. Eric McCoy is from Texas A&M. They're both interior offensive linemen. I thought they both helped each other out a lot at the Senior Bowl just because Power showed that he is a true bulldozer of a dude. He's a mean cuss that you just don't want to mess with on that interior, and I know teams love to get interior guys, especially at the guard spot, that are like that. And then Eric McCoy was playing center a lot, and he was finessing guys pretty well. They had some good interior defensive tackles playing this week at the Senior Bowl, and I thought that he did a really good job standing up all those guys. And so I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, Charles Menihue played well as well, but we kind of knew that he was going in. I thought Nasir Adderley did okay. He kind of proved that he's not really a slot type of guy who you can turn like a safety into like a hybrid slot corner, but he still did well in the back end. But overall, I'd say that those are probably the guys that did really well.
And then on the flip side, who were some of the players who maybe did not take advantage of the opportunity?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hesitant to, again, I just mentioned Nasir there. I'm hesitant to say that like he didn't really take advantage of the opportunity, because they were playing him at a position that we probably thought that he wasn't going to play in the NFL. So if you continue to think of him more as a true safety type, a back end safety, he still holds up that value as a first round, maybe very early second round kind of a guy. But I'd say the quarterbacks in general, Ryan Finley was not impressive. Daniel Jones, I did not think was impressive all week long. I know he had a good game, but I just was not impressed with him. And then I think the big one was Will Grier. Will Grier is just, and I had somebody ask me this recently. They're like, how did Will Grier go from being a first round pick to now like this third round guy that people are talking about? What happened? And the thing with Grier is that you always wanted him to take that next step with consistency and hopefully more, consistent accuracy is the best way to say it. And, you know, we're even just watching Will Grier warm up and he's missing passes against air. You know, it's just like he's missing wide receiver. And it's like, man, he can hit the big throw. I know that gets you all excited. It gets you out of your seat. But he is so much more high variance than I think people are caring to realize now. And I think the Senior Bowl exposed that a little bit, especially being next to some of these other quarterbacks. And so those are the guys. I think as a whole, the quarterback class really did not help itself very much this week. I think the only quarterback that I would have said really elevated his stock was probably Tyree Jackson. I thought Drew Lock was just okay. He probably kept his stock kind of where it was. But Tyree Jackson's the only real one who I would say improved it a bunch. And the other guy's just really disappointed, if you ask me.
Well, that's a pretty good segue, because the Jets got their quarterback last year, Sam Darnold. So right now,
right,
a lot of the focus is building around him. And it seems to me Jets right now hold the third pick. And it seems to me that most of the top-end talent, at least early in the draft, is going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Is that accurate?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the edge class, the interior defensive line class, if you need trench help, this is the year to get it. You've got, five or six edge rushers and probably four or five interior defensive linemen that could all go in the first round. And anytime you got that many players, that's almost a third of the draft being right from the defensive trenches. And so it's lining up pretty well for the Jets, actually, to have a solid option at number three. Or heck, maybe if they even wanted to trade down, because we know that's a common thing with teams picking in the top five that don't need a quarterback, they could still end up with a really good football player and get some extra picks out of it just because of how rich the draft is at the top there.
One of the things people are focused on with the Jets is trying to build a better offensive line around Darnold. How's the line class look this year?
I think the line class is decent. You got Jonah Williams at the top. Cody Ford's also up there. Jonah played more left tackle over the last 2 years. Cody Ford played a lot of right. Cody Ford could probably also kick inside a little bit. There's hype around Greg Little being a first round guy, but man, he is still really raw. You're definitely, I think, taking a risk on him developing. Not saying he can't, but there's definitely a risk there. Then you got guys like Yannick Kajust and perhaps even Dalton Risner, who could be end fringe first round guys. But if you're the Jets or if you're any team looking for offensive line help, you really got to address it in that first round, especially if you're looking for a tackle, because it's not deep after that. It's really not going to get deep in days two and days three. So you're going to kind of struggle, I think, to find a lot of useful offensive tackles if you don't address one in the first round. And for the Jets, it's kind of tough because you'd rather take, I think, an edge rusher just because that talent in this pool is higher. But I think they also got to know that if they're not taking an O-lineman in the first round, you got to kind of, you know, hope and pray that one falls there to them in the second round, because that's even going to be a little bit of a risk there. So there's talent at the top. They could get it. I think they could get a good offensive tackle as well as other teams could at the top of this draft. But it's not really a deep class beyond the first round.
Do you think they'd have to trade down to justify taking an offensive lineman in the first round? Do you think there's anybody they could justify taking at three?
I mean, the thing is that you'd be picking an offensive lineman over a Josh Allen or a Brian Burns or like an Ed Oliver or something, or who knows, like even if Quinnen Williams ends up falling to three, which is, I guess, possible, then those are all guys that you'd have to pick them over. And I would take all of those other guys talent-wise over somebody like Jonah Williams. So I think that, you know, if you're going to pick him up, you're looking at trading back with New York if they want to move up for a quarterback, the Giants, that is. Jacksonville, if they want to move up for a quarterback. Perhaps a team like Miami or Washington gets a little crazy and wants to move up that far to get a quarterback. that's where you've kind of got to trade at and pick up some extra picks if you want to justify, if you really want to pick up an O-lineman if you're the Jets. That's what I think, at least.
All right, Trevor, I'm going to just have one last question for you, you know, being a guy who really studies these things. And we've been focused on the offensive line. That's where a lot of Jets fans' heads are. So I just want to pick your brain a little bit and get some advice for people who want to evaluate these prospects. What do you look for when you look at offensive linemen?
So I think footwork's really key, because you certainly, that's where a lot of your balance starts. And if you are not a balanced offensive lineman, you're just not going to generate the power that you need to. So I do think that it all starts with footwork. That's why guys like Greg Little kind of scare me a little bit. And that's why guys like Dalton Risner are talked about as perhaps guards, because, you know, for Little, he's a little bit messy in his footwork, and you can see it, you know, when he's kicking out, his balance is sometimes not there, and he can get knocked over easy or moved over easy. For Risner, it's like he's got a narrow base with how he kicks out and slides, and it seems more short area, like phone booth-ish, if you'll say something like that. And so I think it all starts with footwork, because you got to get a good center of gravity. You've got to be able to anchor, especially as a run first team. And then hand usage is really big, because defensive linemen are getting so good at knocking away hands. You've got to know where to place your hands. Then obviously just having a mean streak to you. You know, that was a big part of what was so alluring with Quentin Nelson last year, is that not only was the guy technically sound, not only was he strong, he was there to finish you, man. He had a chip on his shoulder at all times. He did not want to get beat. You got to have a ton of pride if you're an offensive lineman. You can't take plays off. Obviously, being healthy is a big deal too, because anytime you're talking about a guy who's 300, 330 pounds, anywhere in between there, that's a big body, and you got to make sure your knees can hold up that much weight at all times. But I'd say it starts in the feet. When I look at offensive linemen, I think it starts in the feet, because you got to get the center of gravity. You've got to have the strength in your upper body. You've got to know how to use your hands, where to place them. You got to know how to recover against defensive linemen that are knocking you away. And then you got to have that mean streak to you. You got to make sure you're dependable, and you got to make it so that guy next to you on the offensive line is going to fight for you as well on every snap when you're getting that chemistry together.
All right, Trevor, thanks so much for joining us. Hope we'll have you back again shortly before the draft.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thank you for listening to our show today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, you can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. I hope you have a great Wednesday, and we'll be back again tomorrow. We'll talk some more Jets.